Today on the show, we have Anne Swanson. Anne teaches meditation to busy people with busy minds and is the best-selling author of Science of Yoga and Meditation for the Real World. Her new book offers step-by-step practices to find peace in everyday life by blending cutting-edge research with ancient wisdom. Despite not always being a naturally chill person, Anne overcame chronic pain and anxiety through her journey studying yoga and Tai Chi. Now she shares realistic techniques that you can easily integrate into your daily routine. During this episode, Anne shares one of her powerful meditations, and we recommend that you are not driving or doing anything that needs your full waking attention. Remember to hit the save button so you can come back and listen when you're ready. We believe in growth and continuous learning.
We believe in educating and sharing knowledge.
We believe the body is miraculous and is able to heal with the proper nutrition and support.
And we believe the right mindset is key to your success.
I'm Amanda Gawaitley.
And I'm Kate McDowell. And this is Limitless Health.
Live well, naturally. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Anne Swanson, Anne, who is into meditation and helping people with mental health issues and any pain issues. And we're really excited to get chatting with you to find out how you're helping people specifically with that. And we'll just start off with, like, how did you get into meditation? Where did your journey take you to here? Because I know, just reading a little bit about you, that you were not one that was really drawn to meditation or having a calm mind in the past.
Yeah, I'm not a very chill person naturally. Like, growing up, I was anxious. I dealt with chronic pain. And I didn't come to meditation specifically. I came to yoga and mind-body practices. And then there's always, you know, a meditation at the end. And by the time we got to that point in the yoga class, I was looking at my watch. It is time to go. I have things to do. I just didn't get it. But eventually, you know, as we tried different techniques, I found some that worked for me. One in particular where you squeeze your muscles and release systematically from head to toe, that like really allowed me to realize like, oh, this is what relaxation feels like. And I slowly got into it, and then it got me through some really tough times in my life. And now I teach meditation, and I'm here to spread meditation to the world, because if I can do it, anyone can do it. So if you feel like I'm too busy and my mind is too busy, then really the book that I wrote recently, Meditation for the Real World, that's the book for you, because this is a skeptic's guide to meditation.
Amazing. I like how you bring in the fact that it can be challenging for people. And that was your experience in the past too. That's, for me, that's always been the issue. I'd lay there and my brain would just be like, oh, there's other things you could be doing, and you should be, and focusing on things that have nothing to do with meditation, when I know that the point is to just focus on my breath or to stay grounded. And how do you make meditation interesting for people that are super busy?
Yeah. So to make it interesting, I like to integrate other science-backed practices that are going to enhance your meditation. So for example, you love going in nature. Walking in nature is so beneficial for your health. There's even research that the aerosols in the air, the smells in the air, they help us to release more immune system antibodies to fight things that are coming in, cancers, tumors. And so it's really beneficial to be in nature. We all know we love it, right? So when you're in nature next time, you can do a walking meditation while you're walking through. You could also take a moment and sit on a bench, take your shoes off, put your feet down into the ground. This is what scientists call earthing. We colloquially call it grounding, but they call it earthing in the research studies. And it reduces inflammation. So you're going to enhance your effects when you do these little tips like that. Listen to the sounds of nature. So integrate something that you're already doing or you already love. Another thing is music. I integrate a lot of music into my meditations and into my guided meditations that I teach, because there's specific frequencies that can change your brain waves to optimize your meditation practice. So whether it be listening to the sound of waves of the ocean, that's been shown to be very effective and calming. It's called brown noise. Mm-hmm. That is something that's so beneficial because our brain doesn't necessarily know the difference between being in nature and listening to the sounds of nature. It's like you're tricking yourself to be there. So I like to integrate those into my audio meditations or just put a track on in the background.
Nice. What if someone feels like they're really bad at that, or your mind's wandering too much? Are there little, is there a trick or something that you can suggest to someone to kind of hone in on being focused more?
Everybody wants a hack, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, most people have it all wrong, what the definition of meditation is. Mm-hmm. First of all, the short definition is focusing in a relaxed way. So that means that when your mind wanders, you don't say, oh, I'm so bad at this. Gosh, mm-hmm. Why am I thinking about that? I'm not doing the right. Like it's a relaxed mm-hmm. way. So when your mind wanders, oh, this is an opportunity to come back to the focal point. Mm-hmm. You look at it in a relaxed, easeful, no big deal, back to the focal point. Okay. Because everybody's mind wanders. So people think that meditation is the act of focusing on the one thing. So your teacher will say, focus on your breath, focus on the sounds, mm-hmm. whatever the focal point may be, a word you repeat. We think that's the meditation. And if I start thinking about what I'm going to eat later or what I said 10 years ago and how stupid that sounded, then I am really bad at meditating. But really, meditation is a process. So the first step, teacher tells you a focal point, you focus on it. Then inevitably step two for everybody, no matter how advanced you are, mind will wander. Your mind inevitably will go to something else. The next step is the key step. And this is where we're training our brain networks to change their activity. Our next step is noticing that you're not mind wandering. So a lot of times during the day, everyday life, we don't notice that we're mind wandering. We believe our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And we're involved in them, having a conversation with them. We're like engulfed in them, but we're going to notice our mind is wandering. And then the next step is your brain is going to pick up a network that determines, is this important or not? So if, you know, you're thinking about what you said 10 years ago and how silly that sounded, that's not important right now. But if you are smelling smoke and you think there might be a fire in the house, you know what? That's important. We're going to stop the meditation. So you're going to determine, is this relevant and important right now? Yeah. And then you come back. You're training your brain to do it. That whole process is meditation. It's not just the focal point. The key parts of it are actually noticing and coming back. Those are the key parts of meditation. So when it's hard and your mind is wandering a lot, guess what? You're getting a good workout. You're training your brain hard. Like those days you don't want to go to the gym, but you still pick yourself up and go, you are training harder and you're improving your brain network activity and even improving the tissue. The tissue will change over time and become bigger. Your brain gets bigger from meditating in specific areas, in critical areas that are helpful for focus and memory and emotional regulation.
Interesting. How long do you have to meditate for it to work?
Well, a lot of the initial studies were like, you know, 10 to 30 minutes a day and like 8 weeks. And they found huge changes from these sort of results. Now, more and more researchers are looking at shorter meditations. There's big changes from 5 minutes. And we're looking at even shorter practices because we can see that there's immediate changes when you start meditating. Even if you meditate for 1 minute, your blood pressure goes down. Your heart rate goes down. You go into that rest, digest, and rejuvenate state of your nervous system where you can think clearer. You are releasing chemical cocktails from your brain, like endorphins and feel-good chemicals, just from 5 minutes or a minute of meditating. You'll feel these immediate effects. So I like to tell people that one-minute meditations count. And in the heat of the moment, when you're, you know, you're about to blow a fuse, you know what? A one-breath meditation could make all the difference in changing your reaction to not yell at your kids or react in a way that you'll regret.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, very helpful for people because we are often very busy and doing all the things. So even if it can be just a minute or 5 minutes, just to take that time and just decompress and maybe reduce some stress in that time was very helpful, I think, for people to hear. Are you able to walk us through a quick 1 minute experience?
Yeah. What do you want to do it for? What, tell me a scenario and I'll give you a meditation, because the meditation I give for focusing is going to be very different than for sleep or for calming down when you're angry.
Okay. How about for sleep? Just because a lot of people, I think, need to get back on track.
You know what? This is one of the biggest ones that I have people do. It's in the book because I wanted to teach a meditation that you could memorize. And then when you wake up in the middle of the night, you don't have to go to your phone. You don't have to pull up an audio. You can guide yourself through this. So we'll do it right now, like seated or however you are. And as you're listening to this, you could still do the meditation. And during the day, this helps you settle your energy down. But when I wake up in the middle of the night, you know, usually our mind is spinning, our energy is really high, and we want to settle down. So this is called the down meditation. Mm-hmm. All you have to remember is the word down, and whatever of these cues that I just guide you through in a moment work for you, and whatever ones, you know, you remember in the middle of the night, those are the ones you're going to do. You don't have to do all of them.
Perfect.
So first, you're going to settle down in bed. That would mean lying down. Right now, that might mean sitting down. Feel your energy releasing down into the surfaces supporting you. With each exhale, feel your body releasing down. And bring your breath down. So instead of doing chest breathing, you're allowing your abdomen to move with your breath. Slowing the breath down. With the next few exhales, maybe even slowing them down even more so you have nice long exhales. The next few exhales, I want you to feel your body releasing more and more down into the surfaces beneath you. Like a snow globe all shaken up, you can imagine the snow is all settling down. Your energy is settling down. And the next step, especially when you're trying to sleep, rather than counting sheep, we will count down and count our breath. So we'll start with 100. You'll inhale and exhale. That's 100. Inhale and exhale. 99. We'll just go to 95 right now. Feeling your energy release down. And when you're done, you're welcome to just look around you and notice if you feel a little more settled. Mm-hmm. And I've never made it to one. But if you do, or you lose count, which is more likely, then you would start back at 100 when you're trying to sleep at night. This has been super effective for me and for my clients.
I almost missed the point of you said, like, open your eyes. Still in it. So. Oh, yes, right. Podcast. Come back.
It's amazing because we can get, like, there's so much going on in our minds. And I love how you've given us ways that meditation can be used in such a tangible way. Like if it's out walking with your pet or out in nature in general and taking a seat. And it's the belief that a lot of people have and that I had in the past was that it was something that, yeah, like you had to be cross-legged and you had to be sitting on in like this position with your hands. And it doesn't have to be that rigid. There's ways you can do it in an everyday fashion. So I think that's amazing. And the sleep, like even just focusing on your breath in that context and that the down that you were giving us, that was amazing. You've used meditation in terms of health stuff as well, correct? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
for myself. And then I'm a yoga therapist. So that means I therapeutically adapt yoga for each individual. I mostly work with chronic pain conditions. And for myself, I dealt with, obviously, I mentioned a lot of anxiety and pain. I've found that meditation has been critical for my healing of both of those things. And my chronic pain started as a teenager. And I continued on. It's been kind of a lifelong journey for people who deal with chronic pain. It is a journey. And meditation has been the biggest aspect that helps me to reframe the pain. Like I feel it, and you're like, oh, I'm in pain. Oh, you feel like you just want to pop a pill, or like, oh, now my day is ruined. A flare is coming because chronic pain tends to flare, right? And I'm just like, oh. And then you start getting in this cycle where it makes it worse because you catastrophize it. And instead, I'm able to ironically like feel it. And when you feel it, you can heal it. When you recognize and listen to it, your pain has something to tell you. When you listen to it while it's whispering, you can do the self-care that's necessary to prevent that big flare. So if you wait till it yells, then you're in a flare. But if you are listening in that small stage, it's like, okay, I need to take a nap. That might prevent it. I need to watch what I'm eating. I need to take a bath. So you can do what you need necessary, or even just I can just take a few minutes and do a short meditation to help me like get back in touch with my body and figure out what does it need. So that's what meditation truly provides, is listening. But long-term meditation, it rebuilds the areas of the brain that degrade from chronic pain. The exact same areas that are getting smaller that have to do with focus and memory, those areas, we get brain fog when we have chronic pain long term. Those areas get literally smaller. There's less connectivity when we're in pain. And meditation rebuilds those exact areas. It builds the connectivity, makes them stronger. So it is a direct antidote to pain, which is a nervous system misinterpretation of the signals when it's chronic, when it's lasted the past 6 months. So I found that meditation has been the biggest thing long term and even in the short term, right? Like to notice and prevent those flares. And then obviously same thing for anxiety. I've had some extreme anxiety that leads to like passing out at the most inopportune times. And I have a meditation for that. Like it's something you can do in those moments at the doctor's office when you're about to pass out. You can do a meditation to prevent that, or even in the waiting room of the doctor's office to get yourself into that right mindset and chill before rather than like get worrying about the procedure you're about to go to.
Yeah, that'd be very helpful. Just like I can't imagine like passing out of whatever opportunity if you're in like an interview or something, right? That's
Yes.
not great timing. So to have that technique in your back pocket, just okay, I know something's coming and I know what to do. I think that'd be very
Yes.
calming for people to have that.
Yeah. And the thing is that there's different meditations for each situation. So at first I was given a specific meditation for when I go to the doctor's office and pass out, and it didn't work. So I thought, oh wow, I'm bad at meditating, because what they gave me was pay attention to your body sensations, which is the classic like mindfulness technique. I feel like most of us that have tried meditation would pay attention to our body or breath. And I went there, I was like, I'm going to do this meditation while the procedure is happening, and I'll be fine. And then I started to notice my heart is beating really fast, and I'm going pale, and I'm tasting metal, and my breath is too fast, and my body's betraying me, and boom, I'm on the floor faster than ever before. So I looked into it, and apparently, when you're experiencing that acute anxiety, like a panic attack level anxiety, that body awareness and breath awareness make it worse. So you want to bring your awareness to the outside of your body, to something else, whether it's a visualization technique, visualizing for me, I'm at the beach, but wherever a safe place is for you, or I feel the literal physical surface of my body touching the surfaces beneath me. That outside of the body prevents me from passing out. But when I go inside, it's not the right time or place. So if you listeners have ever done a meditation that made it worse or a technique that you're like, wow, I'm not good at this because it did not help, you might have just been doing the wrong technique for the wrong situation. And that's why I wrote Meditation for the Real World, because it's real world situations. And based off of the research as well as clinical practice and experience, like what meditations would help in that situation. And one for depression is going to be different for anxiety.
Did you use meditation to help you become a published author?
I did, actually. Meditation can help you get in alignment to bring what is your dharma in yoga philosophy. We say that your dharma, your true path and purpose into your life to help you go in the right direction. So I had just finished my graduate studies. I have a master's of science in yoga therapy, and I had just traveled the world. I studied in India and China, and I just gathered all of this ancient wisdom and studied anatomy and physiology. So I had all this knowledge, and it's like, I want to do something big with it. And so I was applying for jobs. I thought, oh, I'll teach a college course. I'll put together a course, or, you know, I'm also a massage therapist. So I was also applying for massage jobs. I mean, every job I was getting rejected, every single job, maybe overqualified, maybe the wrong time, whatever it was. Truly now. Yeah. Now I think rejection is protection. I think it led me in the right direction, but I had over 100 rejections. Wow. At this point.
Wow.
And I was feeling down, you know, at times I was feeling down, but I picked myself up. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get in the right alignment. And I was meditating and journaling and writing words on my mirror, believing that a big project is coming my way. Yeah. It was actually so like intense of a time for me. And I was getting so, according to some of my friends from graduate school, they said I was getting so woo-woo that they were about to have an intervention. And so I've just kept believing. And as I was getting these rejection letters in, I got this email that I actually ignored for a few weeks. Like I didn't really think anything of it. And then I looked closer when they followed up, and it was an email from my publisher, who's DK. They're part of Penguin Random House, the biggest publisher, one of the biggest publishers in the world. And they were offering me a book deal. I had no agent. I had no social media following. I did not put out a book proposal. But the book was called Science of Yoga, which is exactly what I just been studying in my Master's of Science in Yoga Therapy. Like it's exactly all the things I had been bringing together. It was the right path for me. It was the perfect book for me. I couldn't have written the description better. That led me on the path. And I truly believe that like meditating and listening to my body and my intuition and staying hopeful and grateful during that time of rejection is what got me to that next step. That trusting that rejection is protection. The big opportunity is coming.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. Rejection is protection. That's a great line.
The universe is looking out for you and kind of guiding you towards the path that you meant to be on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely believe that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any client success stories you would like to share with us?
Yeah, I've had a lot of clients with extreme chronic pain. And with chronic pain, you often see that sleep is an issue, waking up 20 times a night to pee and awake, wide awake, not able to get back to sleep. So you see that sleep is an issue. You see that kind of rushing through the day is an issue to try to distract yourself more from the pain. And that's been the biggest thing, is like working with people to listen, to take those moments, those powerful pauses through the day to listen to their body. And most of my clients that are referred to me, they have five or more health conditions. So perhaps arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, sleep disorders, sleep apnea, really common. Those would be like really the common ones, but you name the five. So it's working with like complex conditions, people that feel like they can't exercise or meditate. because I also teach yoga and Tai Chi. So I'm teaching gentle movement and getting people back into moving. So really empowering people to move in a mindful way again and trust their body. Because a lot of times when we have an injury or pain, we don't want to move that joint.
Yeah.
We're afraid to walk because it's going to make it worse. But really that's what we need to do, right? Is we need to figure out how to move. So that's been most of my work with my private clients is these complex, you know, okay, I put my hands up. I don't know what to do with them. Let's give them to Anne.
Just kind of building that trust with their body again and getting, I guess, reacquainted, because if an injury, you know, you can't move the same way. So you're just kind of relearning how to do all the things, I guess.
Yeah.
Amazing. So you have two books?
Yes.
Correct. Awesome. And where, like, how can people find you if they want to connect with you?
The best place to go is to go to meditationfortherealworld.com, because I have a gift for your listeners. And awesome. That is, when you check out the book, when you get the book, you can also get guided meditations that have music that is integrated to optimize your brain waves for the practice. So if music helps you focus and relax, then this is really for you. This is not like any other meditations you've done before. So meditationfortherealworld.com.
Awesome. So if anyone listening to this, if you're someone who's in a position like I was in the past, where I thought meditation was something I couldn't do, I thought it was boring, I thought it was hard. And like you said about the thinking you're bad at it, you're not bad at it. It's just learning to listen and notice when the mind starts chattering and then the mind calms after as well. That's part of the process, right? Yeah. So yeah, anyone who's in that position or is someone who likes meditating, please go check out Anne's books. Are you on social media anywhere as well?
Yeah, Instagram at scienceof.yoga. And then YouTube's actually the main thing I do. That's Anne Swanson Wellness. I have chronic pain practices, chair yoga, Tai Chi, self-massage at Anne Swanson Wellness.
Wonderful. We'll definitely share all of those things in the show notes. And if you're listening to this, go check it out, because you have, Anne has some amazing things to share. And meditation or anything you can do if you're dealing with chronic pain, if you're dealing with sleep and you've tried all the things and nothing's working, this is such a good opportunity where essentially you can do it for yourself. But if you need support, now you have someone to reach out to and connect with. So yeah, thank you very much. Is there anything else you would like to share before we wrap up?
Ooh. I would just like to share that I feel so grateful to be here with y'all on your podcast. I feel grateful to be able to connect with people all over the world. I think that's one good thing that's come out of the pandemic, is now everything's like virtual and we can connect with people like this. And if listeners are feeling grateful right now, to write a review for the podcast, that always means so much to help podcast hosts get the word out there. If you get my book and you love Meditation for the Real World, write a review. When we write reviews for people we appreciate, whether it's just a Google review at a restaurant, and then we take a moment to feel that in our body, that creates what scientists call a helper's high. You have endorphin releases for doing something nice for somebody, for helping someone out. So just want to encourage that expression of gratitude in your life. Express your gratitude.
Amazing. And it pays it forward, and it gives to both of us. Or like you said, like it, the person who's giving the gratitude also receives as well. So that's amazing. Thank you for that. It was wonderful to have you on the show. I think it's fascinating to be able to give people the idea that meditation is attainable for everyone. So I hope everyone got value from this, and we will see you on the next show.